Today's episode of the Locked On NHL podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you get $10 off your first order. What's up, everybody? Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres podcast. Tom Fazzola joining me as always from the Locked On Oilers podcast, recording here on Monday morning after the weekend, where we had the draft lottery after a couple days removed from the Hall of Fame class of 2020. And Tom, it's maybe a rarity that you're not going to be speaking on the Oilers on the second part of this today's episode.
You know what? And that's something that popped up a lot after the draft lottery is, what if the Oilers or the Penguins win the draft lottery? I think the hockey world would be set ablaze, Joe. And quite frankly, I feel like the Oilers don't want anything to do with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but we'll get into the lottery, the alpha designated unknown teams, and basically what happened on Friday night and where we go from here with the draft lottery in a little bit. I do want to start today's episode, though, with the Hall of Fame class of 2020, because that happened last week, and I've been itching to get your opinion on this, because I think I went a little, not berserk, but it was questionable to me at the time when I first read that, you know, Kevin Lowe was getting in the Hall of Fame. I think he's maybe the most polarizing of this draft class, but just to run it down from beginning to end before we get into the low part of it, Jerome Iginla, Marian Hossa, Kevin Lowe, as well as Doug Wilson, Kim St. Pierre, Canadian goaltender for the women's team, and then Ken Holland makes it as a builder, GM of the Red Wings, now with the Edmonton Oilers. So Holland, maybe you want to start there, because I'm not sure he was as polarizing, and you would have more experience covering him than I would.
Yeah, Ken Holland, I mean, this has been the first year that I've had a chance to deal with him up close and face-to-face in person, and he's a tremendous guy to deal with. He doesn't really pull any punches, Joe, and obviously his track record speaks for itself, you know, winning three cups as GM of the Red Wings over the last 23 years. And then the year before the 98 cup, he was the assistant GM in 97 when the Wings won. So he's a smart man. He's put in his time. And I think, you know, that was a pretty unanimous decision that indeed Kenny Holland deserved to get the call to the Hall. And you know, he's shrewd. He doesn't again BS you, and he puts his money where his mouth is, and I think that's kind of noble in this day and age, and I'm sure it has been for many decades in pro sports, but it seems like now, especially in the last decade or two, you see a lot of smoke and mirrors from a lot of team executives, and he's a guy that just looks at that and goes, I don't really need that type of attitude and mentality as I do my job. And, you know, a tip of the hat to Ken Holland, because he absolutely deserves to be enshrined in the hockey's hallowed hall.
Yeah, he did play four games in the NHL as a goaltender, but yes, obviously making it as a builder in those Red Wings teams, plucking out like star level players at the ends of drafts, like Henrik Zetterberg. Datsyuk to me is always going to be like the pinnacle pick of that method of just pulling guys over from Europe that nobody knew about, and they just become star players for you. Holland and the Red Wings did that for years, and that's why they, I think, had in part a big reason why they had that playoff streak of over 20 years. And then Jerome Iginla, Marian Hossa to me were easy ones. I know there's been a little bit of talk out there, like, should Hossa have been a first ballot Hall of Famer? I'm not into that conversation. I think if you're in, if you deserve to get in, who cares when you get in? For the most part, I think there's scenarios in other sports, like Terrell Owens, for instance, where I could go on and on about why he absolutely should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. So there's special circumstances, but I'm fine with Hossa being a first ballot. No problem there. Iginla getting in this quick. Same thing. Doug Wilson. And then what did you make before we get into like guys that missed and others? I want to hear you on Kevin Lowe here and why you think and what your reaction was to some of the reaction to him getting in.
Well, I'm pretty biased when it comes to Kevin Lowe, Joe. I'll say that up front because, you know, covering the Oilers for Oilers TV, working with him for 8 years, he's a classy guy, and he's competitor. You could tell. I watched him one day in Montreal in the press box when the team went down 2-0 in the first period, throw his phone against the side of the catwalk in Montreal, and it blew up into a million pieces, and then subsequently kick the wall and put a hole in it with his expensive Italian leather shoe. The Oilers would go on to win that game, and he was happy as a peach right after. But talking to those great legends of those Oilers teams in the 80s, when I worked on a couple of documentaries, the 84 reunion, the Farewell Rexall Place documentary, and then we did a thing for the 85 Centennial Greatest Team, which was voted by the fans. So the Oilers kind of half-heartedly put together a celebration thing. So we did all these sit-downs with all the Hall of Famers that played on those teams, and every one of them, Joe, always talked about how Kevin Lowe was the backbone of that team. He was the voice and the conscience of that team. He wasn't the sexiest, best player on the team, didn't have the most skill, but he had the guts and the heart and knew what to say at the right time, and he was vocal and put his body on the line for them. And so they all would bring up the fact that they thought Kevin Lowe should be the next Oiler inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And listen, one of just a handful of guys to win 6 Stanley Cups, one of a handful of guys to, quite frankly, he's the only guy to play 1,000 games with the Oilers. I was going to say there's a couple others. Ryan Smith came close. Kevin Lowe is the only guy to play 1,000 games in an Oilers uniform. He was the first draft pick in franchise history in the National Hockey League, scored the first goal for them. He played on Canada Cup winning teams. And so his playing career was actually stellar, 7-time All-Star. You know what? In his day, Joe, he didn't put up the points, especially in the 80s, but he was the stay-at-home, reliable defenseman. And I think he deserves it. And there's controversial picks. Clark Gillies is another one in 2002 where you're like, wow, this guy really? And I say Kevin Lowe is more deserving of it than a Clark Gillies.
You're right. Like, there are guys that are in that I think he is more deserving of. And as I've had time to stew with it and I've had time to sit with it with this class, I think that my reaction was like, really, he's making it? And then like pulling up Norris votes and looking at, you know, like how he only had him in 4 seasons out of 19. Yeah. And I think what I was driving towards was, in what my ideal Hall of Fame would be, Kevin Lowe would not be in it, because I am one of those people that thinks that, I don't know, I just think the Hall of Fames in all sports have kind of grown too large, and that we're putting too many people in, and that there's no longer that great separation for the top honor of what you were as a player and as a builder between the Wayne Gretzky's and the Lemieux's and the Orr's of the world, and then the guys at the bottom, like you mentioned, Gillies, and like even guys in past years. Like, I love Paul Kariya as a player, but Guy Carboneau, right? Should Guy Carboneau be in, have the same accolades for this, what we're speaking of, as like a Wayne Gretzky, like the top tippy top of the sport? For me, in that world, Kevin Lowe's not a Hall of Famer. But as you look at other classes and you look at who's in already, and you look at what the voters usually do vote on, and even though I don't just agree on, well, if you won, then you're in, from the current metrics of what you need to make it, like he was an important player on a team that won 6 Stanley Cups. And in this Hall of Fame, that absolutely to me is worthy of it. So even though I might not agree with the, you know, like the baseline that it takes to get into the Hall, I think Lowe does meet what this Hall of Fame's baseline is. So in that regard, I don't think I have as big of a problem with him being in as I did when it first happened. And go ahead.
The other thing, Joe, is if it's, you know, worth noting, or people out there are wondering about Kevin Lowe, like he even said it last week after he was inducted or received the call from Lonnie McDonald. He's like, I quite frankly didn't think I was going to make it, and I was okay with that, but this is amazing. So that's just paraphrasing him.
Yep. And in Buffalo, it was a lot of Alex McGillney not making it. And I know a couple other teams that he played for, like Toronto. I know I saw some people reacting to it too. And he is a guy that, you know, there's that little bit of Russian bias maybe. And it takes a guy a couple of years more. Like Sergei Zubov was a European player that I thought was deserving for a long time. And even though he had to wait a little bit, he did ultimately get in. So even though I know a lot of people are around here especially are like, well, McGillney, of course, should have been in. And then Kevin Lowe gets in, and like there, and then there were other people last year, Guy Carboneau, who got in that this came around too. I think McGillney ultimately will make it at some point.
So do I.
So yeah, that's why I'm not flipping out too much about it at this point.
Yeah.
As we've had a little time to stew on it. All right, let's take a timeout here, and then we'll get into the draft lottery. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You got 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. Bars are 100% covered in chocolate, and they're good for healthy conscious guys. If you're looking to maintain weight or lose weight and look for a protein bar that tastes good, Built Bar is the bar you want. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You're always coming in below 5 net carbs and around 15 to 20 grams of protein, under 200 calories, by the way, as well. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Joe DiBiase, Tom Gazzola back here on the Locked On NHL podcast. Good little Hall of Fame discussion with me and Tom there in the beginning. And now we go to a subject that I think we have come all too familiar with as being someone that covers the Sabres and you being someone that covers the Oilers, and that is the NHL draft lottery. And lucky for you, the Oilers were not a part of this lottery, although maybe, you know, that could ultimately happen where they get the first pick, which would be, you know, very NHL-y, it feels like. Like, everyone, if they were to get the first pick, it's not NHL-y, but the reaction on social media would be pretty funny, I think, if they did get it. Obviously for you, I know you're hoping that that doesn't happen, because that would mean they would lose in this qualifying round.
Right.
But in terms of the process, and I even was just kind of laughing at and snickering at like what they named these placeholder teams, like Alpha Designated Unknown Team. Just like, I don't know, like NHL had to go and like create this weird name for the placeholders when they could have just called it placeholder team, but I don't know.
You know, it was fitting, given the year that it's been, that the NHL draft lottery, one thing that we could look forward to and just give us that little respite away from COVID-19 and remind ourselves that hockey is indeed on track to come back. Mm-hmm. And of course, it gets thrown out of whack by a TBD team to be receiving the first overall pick. Like, I saw Bill Daly flip that card and I saw the NHL logo, and immediately I was just like, oh boy, here we go. This is what I did not want. Personally, Joe, I just wanted to see like an Ottawa Senators or Detroit Red Wings get that pick, LA, whatever. I don't care. Just so that we didn't have to prolong this into that period of time between the qualifying round and the first actual round of the playoffs, where we went into phase 2 of the draft lottery. And of course, we're going to see phase 2 of the draft lottery. So I was just like, of course this was going to happen. Ridiculous, but it is what it is. And this story and saga continues to unfold in the most crazy way.
Yeah. And I wonder about like what's going to happen and I don't think that this should be discounted as a possibility, that if the league is not able to complete the season, and if they're not even able to return at all, we've seen spikes in Nevada and Arizona and Florida here in the United States, and there is a possibility of like a second wave, and whether that comes in the fall, whether that comes in the summer at some point, or whether that doesn't come at all, I think that there's a possibility. And even if it's not, you know, over 50-50, I think you'd just be speculating when you're guessing at odds like that. But if it occurs that the NHL is not able to complete its season, well, now what do you do with that first overall pick? And that was amazing to me that on Friday, we were reading about that from Pierre LeBrun, I think was the one who reported it, that the NHL has a plan for that, but they have not informed the teams and they have not informed the players. And I've been away all weekend. I was actually on a camping trip, so I was pretty unplugged. You tell me if that has changed since then, but I don't know. It just feels like there's too much question with what happens with that pick if the worst case scenario happens.
Yeah, I mean, the league's trying to shoot from the hip on this one, and everyone's in the same boat right now with COVID. So they're trying to go about it as best they can. And again, like a lot of things, I think, Joe, it's not going to please everyone. Yeah. You know, they're trying to do it in a way that satisfies most and limits the amount of dissatisfied participants. I understand that. They're trying to be logical about it. Is it the best, ultimate, most ideal situation? Absolutely not. Is everyone going to be happy? Not a chance in hell. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're in this as much as we are, and they're just trying to make do as best as they can. So mm-hmm. when it comes to this whole scenario, if the games don't get played and they end up with a less than ideal situation for that number one overall pick, at least they have a plan. And quite frankly, it's not something that I personally would ever get worked up about. I know there's others out there that like to make a stink for the sake of making a stink. Yeah. But I'm just putting my faith in the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, Bill Daly, and the like, and letting them sort this all out. And then when there's a backlash, they can deal with it.
Yeah. And then last thing on the draft lottery, biggest winner and biggest loser from the lottery. For me, I think my biggest winner would probably be the LA Kings getting up to that second overall pick. I think they've been starving for young talent. They've got a lot of cap issues with older players, and they're one of Detroit, of course, needs them too, but LA has a couple of franchise players I think they'd still like to win with Kopitar and Doughty especially. And I think that it was huge for them to jump up a couple of picks. And my biggest loser on the day, like, is it hard to beat Ottawa on this? You had the second and third odds at the top pick, and not only do you not get the top pick, but you're now picking what is it, third and fifth for them? Yep. Like that's a tough draw for Ottawa.
Yeah, they're gonna get two good players, no doubt about it, mm-hmm. unless they really mess things up. But the last team to have two picks in the top five was the Islanders in, I think, 2000, where they went with Rick DiPietro and Rafi Torres. So, you know, DiPietro was still getting paid by the Islanders. Torres was a good player for a small window of time. You know, you hope the Islanders or the Senators don't go and do the same thing mm-hmm. that the Islanders do for the sake of the Senators, because, man, what a situation. It's just been a mess there. They're the butt end of all hockey jokes, especially in Canada. Mm-hmm. They've replaced the Oilers in that regard.
And the year before, it definitely went better, though. Vancouver had two picks yes. in the top five, Daniel and Henrik Sedin. There's a lot more to that story. We were talking about on the Locked On Sabres podcast, like, what would a good Sabres 30 for 30 be, like when the Michael Jordan was documentary had come out. And for an NHL-wide conversation, I don't think this came up. Like, give me a 30 for 30 on Brian Burke putting together all the deals and everything that needed to happen to get the Sedins at 2 and 3. So yes. Ottawa's probably not going to do that well, I would think, to get like two Hall of Fame level players like that. But they, like LA and like Detroit too, a lot of these teams at the top did need an influx of good young talent. Meanwhile, the Sabres will be picking eighth for the fourth time in the last 7 years. So it's become a pretty familiar draft position for them as well. Last thing, you think Edmonton's going to get a hub city here?
Joe, if the league and the players, I mean, I think it's the players that are driving the bus a little bit more on this now. They don't want to come here. It's not the sexiest city. And I'm starting to wonder more and more, and I've said it on Locked On Oilers, especially late last week, that if they really want to play this smart and do it the safest way possible, they just bring both hub cities up to Canada, because quite frankly, what's going on in the US, and this is my opinion, is scary. We have a family home in Arizona. I wanted to get down there between the end of this season, as soon as the Oilers were eliminated, and then the start of next season for a little vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go, it doesn't look like, now. Arizona's numbers are ridiculous. Then you look at Nevada, where Vegas seems to be, as of recording right now, as close to a sure thing for the NHL as possible. They, Joe, just recorded 2,000 cases over the weekend. And the mask thing is mandatory in Nevada. It's not going to get better. I'm assuming the numbers aren't going to be great when they're announced today in terms of new confirmed cases. And if the league wants to be serious about this and get this 19-20 season done efficiently and safely, just bring the games here to Edmonton and Toronto, get it over with quickly, and then start to refocus on 2020-2021. Playing with fire, going to Nevada. I know that MGM Resorts and all that have put together a pretty nice package, and Vegas mm-hmm. is a sexy city. All of that stuff, I get it, and Edmonton doesn't have the best reputation, but you want to do this right, you want to use common sense, and you want to focus on safety, bring it up to Canada. This is the one thing that the NHL has an advantage of over MLB, NBA, and NFL is it has options in a safer country at this time right now. Quite frankly, it is safer to be here. Testing is more than readily available, especially here in Alberta. Joe, if you want to go get a test today, you could go get a test today. Mm-hmm. It's open to everybody, and our numbers are really good compared to what's going on down there.
I completely agree, and that's why I like. There's nothing really for me to even add to that. Just like, how can you not have safety as the number one determining factor in where you go? And if that's the case, then right, go to wherever it's safest. If that's Edmonton, then you should be going to Edmonton. Who cares if they how many casinos they have, for instance?
Well, there's a casino attached to the arena if they really want to go to the casino.
All right, they have that too. So now you have good. Yeah, now you have no reason for me. All right, that's going to be it for us today on the Locked On NHL podcast. Maybe we'll find out these hub cities in the next day or two. It should be relatively quick, but we'll see. Thanks everybody for listening. Be sure to check out Tom and Locked On Oilers. Be sure to check out me on Locked On Sabres. It's been the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.